It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rob.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanic.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. 502 Sports Bros. Rob and Sook, thanks for being here. Looks like a pretty nice day out there.
Yeah, it was a little chilly this morning, but sun's shining. It's crisp.
Crisp fall day. Coming up, we will have some Pac-12 football talk. We will talk quarterbacks. Pro Football Focus ranked all quarterbacks in college football 1 through 130. Remember, we went through that when they did it preseason, and they've done it again based on the first five or six games, and it's quite interesting where they have Jake Luton compared to Justin Herbert.
Also a surprise top 10 in the Pac-12. And I also saw that Pro Football Focus ranked the offensive lines through, what is it, 5-6 weeks of college football? And there is a Pac-12 offensive line that they put number one in the country.
So we'll get to that coming up here, 5:15. We'll also talk a little bit about why Washington may be struggling. We have Snoop responding in classic Snoop fashion. And we'll talk about rage rooms. In the club tonight, we have a wag fight, which I can't wait to discuss.
Wives and girlfriends?
Yeah. Did you see this one? It's a sports wag fight.
Yeah.
Really good.
I love a good wag list.
I mean, really good. Yeah. Like, if you didn't see what this one woman did to this other woman, it's something else.
Yeah, wag on wag violence.
Well, it's not violent.
Betrayal.
I'll tell you what, it's something. And, yeah, so we'll have that in the club. Americans aren't making new friends, apparently.
What?
And so everyone's concerned about that. And then we'll discuss 6 to 7. Hey, a quick plug. You know what a plug is?
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet you do.
Is that what you put in your hair when you want it to grow back?
You and Matt Lauer. See that story?
Boy.
That Matt Lauer, man.
Yeah. They addressed it today. Was it Hoda and whoever the new lady are? Who is what? That? That's on there with Hoda.
Hoda Kotb? I don't know.
I don't know. They were on there. I saw them this morning. I was flipping
through. The era has become.
And they were addressing it, and boy, I'll tell you what.
They hate Matt Lauer.
They couldn't have been more uncomfortable.
Well, Matt Lauer is accused of rape in a new book.
Yeah.
And that was the worst rape denial of all time. Like, he came out, he's like, oh, yeah, we were definitely having an extramarital consensual sexathon, but I wanted butt stuff, and she didn't. Yeah. Like, it's like, what the hell? Lauer, shut up.
Go away. Or more importantly on this point, go to prison.
Hey, we've got a live show in the community next week. This is very exciting.
Yeah, they're letting us out of the cage again. Doesn't happen very often.
We will be out at Birdie Time Pub for their grand opening Thursday of next week, the 17th. It's on Southeast Main Street, corner of Southeast 9th and Main, right in there in Inner Southeast where everything's popping.
Yes.
All kinds of great stuff going on over there. They have 35 Northwest craft beers on tap. They have a mini golf course, a golf simulator, large screen TVs. We'll watch the Chiefs and Broncos. You can stop by and enter to win a $150 simulator game room party for up to 12 bros.
And I have been told, or ladies, it doesn't have to just be bros. I have been told also that the simulator is not just a golf simulator, that it simulates multiple sports, including rugby. And I'm not sure how you simulate rugby.
Kick ass.
But apparently they have it. And I think you can kick field goals on that.
Dude, I can't wait to see this place. This is like, I mean, there's so many cool new places popping up. And if you love golf, man, I mean, come on.
Let's do this.
Birdie Time Pub next Thursday. Join us down there 3 to 7. A couple follow-ups. Geico Ween. I was thinking about Geico Ween.
It's just, now that you say it, it makes me very
uncomfortable.
Wait
till you hear the ad.
Yeah.
It's coming back, I'm sure.
So they mean Halloween, but apparently it's Geico Ween.
It sounds like
What if you had like a Rapa Ween?
Well, it's Geico Ween to me sounds like something women would gossip about, right? Like, oh, he had a Geico Ween? You know? Like it looks like a Geico or something?
Yeah.
Or I mean a gecko?
I always thought that about Dick Schaap.
What?
The legendary sports reporter. I always thought that that sounded like a condition.
Oh.
Yeah. His name, he was...
Well, you can't really even say it that way. Like, his name was Dick Schaap.
Yes, but that sounds like something that
Do you have Dick Schaap?
It's very uncomfortable.
Guy Coween not on the show today after that spot. I can play it for you again if you'd like.
Yeah, play it, because you guys didn't hear it. Can you fire it off?
Yeah, give me 1 second.
I'm going to play some ads. This is groundbreaking.
Here's,
we're going to play ads.
Some commercials.
Right in the middle of a set, we're playing ads.
The Hot 5 at 5.
I just want you to hear this.
Yeah. All right. So this is the Geico Ween.
Yeah.
All right. What
this hour of sports talk brought to you in part by Geico Ween. It's October, which means it's Geico Ween. Get a Geico quote and you could save so much. It's scary. Geico. 15 minutes can save you 15% or more on car insurance.
So Geico Ween is scary. So if you encounter a Geico Ween, run the other way.
Apparently.
Huh.
Also, I'd like to say this about those speed bumps.
Yeah.
Because a couple of people have texted in and said, oh, dude, I know what you're talking about. They did that in my neighborhood, too. They did speed bumps, and they put the grooves for your tires in the wrong space so you can just cruise right over them without even hitting any bump. And it's we've all bonded over the idea that it's great when you're in a line of cars and you do it. And you see that other people haven't figured it out yet, it makes you feel good.
Or other people following your lead and you feel like some sort of pioneer. Yeah. You're like, yes, follow me to shock safety.
Watch this. Oh, and then they're like, oh my God. And then they start doing it. You're like, yeah, that was me.
I did that.
All right. Well, I think we're ready to go with the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh. Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5. Refreshed on the fan by Frostbrewed Coors Light.
The Torminants.
I can't do that guy.
Likely not going to get nowhere.
Number 5.
Jags cornerback Jalen Ramsey is attempting to practice, albeit in a limited fashion, despite that mysterious back injury. The Jaguars say they are not listening to trade offers for him, but I guarantee you they are, and his demand of a trade still stands.
Yeah, I wonder if he'll just continue this throughout the rest of the year and just do the, I have to play because, you know, I need to get paid, but I'll be damned if I'm going to practice the rest of the year.
Dolphins have named Josh Rosen the starting quarterback for the remainder of the season. And Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback Mason Rudolph is back at practice. He is still in concussion protocol. I'm shocked to learn that he is not a vegetable.
No, it was
because
that was
really ugly.
Yeah, I mean, you get knocked out and then you can get knocked out, and he was the latter. And by the way, it wasn't a dirty hit or anything. I mean, Thomas wasn't trying to decapitate him or whatever. It wasn't like a perfect type hit. It was just one of those perfect shots right on the button. And by the way, also should have been wearing a mouthpiece. I mean, that's... I know a lot of guys don't wear them. I didn't wear them when I played, which was stupid. But, I mean, it's that sort of thing that it reminds you there's a reason why those things exist.
Speaking of Vontaze Burfict, his suspension has been upheld by the NFL today. He will be out for the year.
Yeah, he gone.
Yeah, all right. Antonio Brown is now encouraging the Patriots to re-sign him. He thinks that they'll have to pay him due to his grievance, so why not play him?
Yeah, so he was supposed to be taking classes at Central Michigan, but then he tweeted out that he's home in Miami. And I love that that's just his train of thought. I'm going to win this grievance, so you might as well play me. Something tells me that New England won't be doing that.
Richard Sherman says he will apologize to Baker Mayfield, says, oops, my bad. You did shake my hand.
So
I just didn't remember.
I lied about it, but now I'm just going to slowly walk that one back. All right. Sounds about right.
Yeah.
Oh, and Rex Ryan says that he wants the Washington job, too.
He said he'd take it.
Yeah.
Would they hire him? I think he'd do worse than him, but they probably will do worse than him.
I don't know who else you're going to get. No one wants that job, but Sexy Rexy will take it.
Number three.
Ah, yes. Number three. Well, let's just go ahead and tell you about tonight's NLDS, the first one. The St. Louis Cardinals scored 10 runs in the first inning in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And they are going to advance to the NLCS. It is currently 13-1. Cardinals over the Braves. They are playing in the top of the ninth.
Hey, I stand by my statement that if you get rid of that first inning, the Braves have really stabilized this thing. By the way, that sets a postseason record for most runs in the first inning. The starting pitcher got one out.
Yeah, Fulton Avich won one third of an inning, six runs. Actually gave up seven, but only six earned. He was terrible.
Freddie Freeman had an error.
And then Max Fried came in, and he gave up four, and it was over. So the Cardinals are headed to the CS. Bit of a shocker there, especially after their comeback win in game four. Jack Flaherty pitched six innings, although some people thought after they scored 10 runs in the first that they should just take Flaherty out and go with a bullpen game or something.
Yeah, sit him down.
But he pitched, and pitched well.
You guys are both right on the because in the third inning, they said Vegas had the over-under at 18. Yeah. And you're right. You were right to take the under. The scoring was done.
Yeah, they were all ready to get to dinner.
Shut it down.
USC is getting starting quarterback Caden Slovis back for their big game at Notre Dame this weekend. He had been medically cleared following a concussion against Utah. You know, he's number two in the nation in completion percentage, Slovis.
I did not know that.
Now you do.
He's only played a couple games. Also, the Tonaloa Hufanga? I believe is his name. He's also back for USC.
Yeah, that's big.
Yeah, and he's their best defensive player.
There are reports that Clemson quarterback Trevor Lawrence suffered a bruised shoulder against Texas A&M, but he's playing through it. May explain his five picks thus far. And Auburn has lost their leading rusher, Booby Whitlow. 4 to 6 weeks, he has a knee injury that he suffered against Florida.
And I think he's like third or fourth in the country in rushing. He's been really good, which sucks because Auburn's getting ready to go on a death march here over the next month when you look at their schedule.
Number one.
So, as we told you, the Atlanta Braves remain one of six major league teams that has never been, well, not never, but that hasn't been to the championship series since 2001. They're about to go down. They're batting in the bottom of the ninth against the Cardinals. So St. Louis will move on to meet the winner of tonight's Game 5 between the Nationals and the Dodgers. It will be Walker Buehler against Steven Strasburg in L.A. Slugger Cody Bellinger for the Dodgers, just 3 of 15 in the series. Now, here's a fun little nugget, and I will update it to include today's Cardinals-Braves game. Since 1999, there have been 28 Game 5s in the Division Series, and the road team has won 19 of the 28.
See, that's a fun little stat. Probably sweating bullets tonight if you're the Dodgers.
Tomorrow, it'll be Garrett Cole and the Astros against Tyler Glasnow and the Rays for Game 5 in Houston.
Who would have thought, especially after the first two games, that the Astros and the Dodgers, clearly the two best teams in baseball this year, would both be facing elimination games.
Well, the Astros were up 2-0, weren't they?
Yeah.
But the Dodgers weren't. That series was 1-1, I think, right? Yeah, it was 1-1.
Yeah, it was 1-1. Because...
what's his nuts?
Yeah, why can't I think of it?
What's his name?
Kershaw lost in game two after Walker Buehler was dominant in game one.
Your Hot 5 at 5 is refreshed by Coors Light. Enter to win an Oregon-branded Yeti cooler anywhere Coors Light is sold. Coors Light, mountain cold refreshment made to chill. Let's talk some Pac-12 football. Coming up next, is Jake Luton having a better season than Justin Hebert? You'll find out next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Now, this may just be a me thing. Probably is. But the Cardinals are about to close out the Braves. They scored 10 runs in the first inning. So it's just been a foregone conclusion for about 3 hours. It's 13-1 in the ninth. Are they going to have to run out there and jump up and down and, like, go crazy as if it's been, like, it's like some shock that they won? You know, like, it kind of bothers me that...
Well, they got champagne, I'm sure, waiting to go.
Yeah, see, that bothers me, too. I feel like, it doesn't bother me. It's just like, when you win a series at this level and you're going on to another series, I just don't feel like you should celebrate.
Can you celebrate going to the World Series?
Yes. I think you win a pennant. You win the AL or NL pennant. You bust out champagne.
But the wild card or
this. I feel like baseball teams just celebrate no matter what.
Sure.
And it's always the same celebration where they jump up and down. And
the celebration is brought to you by somebody. It's like Bud Light and, you know, they.
Geico-ween.
Yeah, Geico-ween or whatever. I mean, you got to have everything sponsored now. Basically, what
I don't
you're
know,
saying,
does that bother anyone else?
It's like it's like an elementary school graduation. I'm with you.
Yeah.
It bothers me when you do that.
I feel like the Cardinals, if they really wanted to flip the script on this, they should all be excited.
Walk out, shake hands,
that's
and
right.
leave.
Walk out, get in your high five line like you do, and then move on to the next series.
I did see someone tweeted this out. So Flaherty, who pitched for the Cardinals and gave up one run, I think he went five innings. That since the All-Star break, he has allowed 15 total runs and 17 starts.
Wow. And Wainwright's spinning it great, too.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Which, again, goes back to the, should you have really pitched him five innings when you could have pulled him after two, 25-30 pitches, and had him ready to go for game one of the championship series?
I got to tell you, see, here they go. Look at him. Jumping up and down like, oh, my God, we won!
Hey!
Yeah, we knew that. Yeah. We knew that 4 hours ago. But anyway, they're happy. You know,
the celebration is fairly subdued.
Yeah, and it should be. But the Cardinals, you know, they're only winning because I said they sucked. You know that, right?
Yes. You were not high on the Redbirds.
No, I watched them all year. I didn't think they were that good. But, man, they're playing well right now. And, boy, the Braves. Ooh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
It's very Bravesy of them.
It so is.
Which I appreciate. That makes me happy.
Pro Football Focus ranks all 130 college football quarterbacks. Now, they do this periodically. They did it before the season, and we went through it. Well, we didn't go through it. We went, you know, played the hits from it. And they've done it again. So based on the performance of teams through five or six games this season, they have ranked quarterbacks 1 through 130. And it's interesting. They do have Jake Luton barely ahead of Justin Herbert. They have Luton 18th and Herbert 19th.
So what we can clearly determine after this very short sampling size is that Luton greater than...
Number one pick, Jake Luton.
Justin Herbert.
Well, I like Jake Luton, and I think Jake
Luton is playing really well right now.
He should get credit, dude. He's playing good. And you know what? His thing is, I've always felt watching him play that he just is good. It's just he needs to stay healthy.
Well, and he's been really inconsistent, though.
I mean, I'm not saying he's like freaking Tom Brady, but again, here we go with that. I'm not going to take a crap on him. I think the guy's a good quarterback,
yes.
And it's not that he's perfect. It's just they can win games with him. He's pretty good, and he's in the top 20 in all quarterbacks in the country, and he's having a better year than Justin Herbert so far. He should get credit for that.
Absolutely.
He has not thrown one interception yet.
He has played really well, and I said going into the season, their offense has a chance to be really good. I didn't think it'd be this good. I thought it'd be a top six offense. I think it's a top three offense, depending on what category you're looking at. And, you know, there's some good skill position players there. Jamar Jefferson has been a little dinged up, but they have other backs that have been able to carry the load. I think that Hodgins has been the best receiver in the Pac-12. I think Chenault from Colorado is the best, but he's been hurt. And so I think there's a lot to like about Oregon State. And tip of the cap for Luton getting that kind of love. Now, this week is going to be an interesting test because number 10 on this list right now is Tyler Huntley from Utah. And we've said it all along. If Utah can figure out some consistent quarterback play, Utah's got the stuff to actually be a Pac-12 champion, and that's who Oregon State gets to face this week.
So let me read you what they say about these three. So Herbert at 19. Herbert started the season off on the wrong foot against Auburn, leading to just a 55.6 overall grade, but has rallied with plus grades in each of the past four outings. He's not reached his 2017 levels of play, but right now he's hitting his stride for what we know he is. Safe with the football, a yards per attempt figure between 7.5 and 8.2, many first down conversions, and a high touchdown to interception ratio. He currently owns the country's 10th highest adjusted completion percentage at 79.4%, and his Ducks team looking down the barrel of a potential Pac-12 championship with a bigger game looming against Washington.
Yeah, and that's all a very fair you know, that's a fair appraisal of his season so far.
Luton 18th. They say the better of the two quarterbacks in the state of Oregon this season. Luton doesn't have the win totals of his counterpart in Herbert, but he clearly has the rest of the Pro Football Focus metrics in his advantage. He hasn't thrown an interception on 161 attempts, while he's averaged a 9.8 yard depth of target throughout the season.
Herbert only has the one pick, but obviously Luton is pushing the ball downfield more.
Yeah, Luton has the advantage of big time throws as well, unleashing 9 this year, while he has top 11 figures in both passer rating on deep passes, which is 133.6, and when kept clean from pressure, 131.5, as he's fresh off a national quarterback of the week performance against UCLA. And then for Huntley.
Can I just say that's a really cool story for Oregon State going into this year and not knowing what to expect out of Luton, who's, you know, got another year of eligibility, and just there was such a big question mark. And so good for Oregon State and good for Jake Luton to be getting some positive pub at this point.
So they're top 20 guys.
By the way, Trevor Lawrence comes in at 17. So,
yeah,
I mean, just if I would have told you that Jake Luton, 18, Trevor Lawrence, 17 at
I would have
point,
told you Clemson had lost by now, but yeah, they haven't.
Well, it helps when you have all that talent around you and you haven't really played anyone either.
Number 11 is Jacob Eason of Washington. They say Eason has had 3 extremely strong games this year, and outside of the Cal performance, has finished every game with a grade of at least 73.7 overall. He's currently 7th in the country with 12 big-time throws while limiting himself to just 5 turnover-worthy passes. He's done everything well so far this year, but if there's one area to improve on, it's under pressure, where he has just a 41.2 passer rating. Good thing for him and Washington fans, he's been under pressure on just 22.1% of his dropbacks, the 12th lowest percentage among qualified quarterbacks. So they like Eason better than both Herbert and Luton, which is interesting.
Yeah, because Washington up there, now the conversation is if who was the kid that transferred? It's not Sermon. He's the one that's still there.
Yankoff.
No, it's not. He battled with Eason in the preseason. Yankoff left early.
Oh, that kid. Yeah, Hayner.
Yeah. Right? A lot of people are asking, had he stuck around, you know, is there a chance that he would be seeing some snaps right now? Because they're not particularly thrilled up there with what Jacob Eason's doing. And yet when you look at the raw numbers of it, this would tell you otherwise. The other interesting thing about Seattle, have you seen some, I'm trying to find the actual tweet, but about their second half losses and adjustments. Have you seen that floating around?
I do have that stat here. We need to carve out a whole segment to talk about Washington, because there's a lot to talk about there. The stat is this, and it was in the,
because this screams coaching problem.
It was in the Seattle Times. They said, Washington has lost their last 10 games and 15 of their last 16 when trailing at half.
Yeah.
And of course, a lot of people will say that's an indictment on Chris Peterson. This offensive coordinator, this Bush Hamden guy.
Yes.
I think it's more of an indictment on him.
But Chris Peterson's the one that hired him. Yeah. And ultimately Chris Peterson is the one that's in charge. And so that it falls at his doorstep.
No, that's right. The one criticism of Chris Peterson, and I was talking to my Husky buddy about this the other day, and he said this, he's too loyal to assistant coaches who aren't getting it done.
Yes.
He's too loyal. And so when you look at a couple of positions where they're struggling right now, wide receiver, they do have some young hotshot wide receivers coming in, but they're not ready yet. And defensive line is the other one. Those were coaches that were struggling to recruit at that position, and that's coming back to bite them now. They do have some young guys. They do have some reinforcements, but it's going to take time. So he waited too long to make changes at those two positions. So they're not very mature, and they're not very deep. But don't count on Chris Peterson being down for much longer.
But you're 1-4 in bowl games under Chris Peterson. You said you've lost 10 in a row, 15 to 16 when trailing in the second half. Every year now, seemingly, you lose 1-2 inexplicable games where you have no reason to be losing them. It's not like you're losing to elite talent. I think that's, if I'm a Husky fan, I think there's reason to be concerned about that. That is not a trend that you want to be a part of.
Well, their defense is top 25. Their offense is not very good.
No.
And Jonathan Smith left, and they have not. No,
they have not been the same.
I don't know if this Bush Hamden guy is going to get it done. We'll see. But right now, what's happening is, and Cal did this, you can just pound it down their throat.
Yep.
And or that bodes well for Oregon in that offensive line, which you teased this, but Pro Football Focus also ranked all the offensive lines in the country, and Oregon's is number one.
Better than Ohio State's, better than Alabama's, better than anybody's. Which
that's frustrating a little bit,
isn't it? It's frustrating because the run game really hasn't been clicking. But this is what I was talking about yesterday when we were having this conversation about running into stacked fronts. and not making adjustments and not having backs that are really dynamic and breaking tackles. When you have the number one offensive line in the country and you have all five guys that are grading out high every single week, this isn't a blown assignment thing. The five guys that are up there are blocking their five guys. That means that you have unmanned guys or unblocked guys that are making tackles. That's running into run fronts when you shouldn't be, or not getting out of plays. And then the other one too is having your backs not finding open holes and not being able to make the unblocked guy miss.
So they're not capitalizing on what the O-line is doing.
Yes.
Like if you've ever had the thought watching Oregon, you go, maybe the offensive line isn't as good as people say. The answer is
no,
that's not the answer. The answer is the coaches and the running backs and whoever else you blame it on, they're not taking advantage of what the O-line is doing.
Yes. It is a shame that the run game isn't clicking when your offensive line is playing this well.
Yeah, they can't. I mean, what more do you want them to do?
You can't. When you're running into eight-man fronts and there's five linemen, five can't block eight. The five you have are blocking their five better than anyone in the country, and you're not consistently running the ball.
So what do you do?
Well, that's on coaches. That's on coaches for not making adjustment. That's on scheme. That's not for allowing more freedom at the line of scrimmage to get out of plays. I mean, that's ultimately...
So you want to give it to Herbert to say to look at the defense and adjust.
You have to have better game plans, or you have to be able to push the ball downfield and force teams to respect your ability to throw or play action game and get them to loosen up those fronts. And you saw both Cal and Auburn do this, where they said, we don't respect you on the outside at all. We're going to run man coverage and we're going to slant and stunt and run blitz, and you're not going to run the ball on us. And you throwing the ball doesn't scare us, which is amazing because you supposedly have a top 10 quarterback in the NFL next year in the draft. And yet teams aren't afraid of you throwing the football.
Well, I guess that goes back to the Auburn game.
Yes.
And that's what, Arroyo said after that game, is like, I wish I would have trusted my guys on the outside a little more.
But you didn't,
trusted my
you
quarterback.
Didn't do it against Cal either, and it won't haunt you against Colorado. But for all of Washington's problems, one thing that Washington can do, which is why they play Washington State and Air Raid teams so well, is they've got the DBs to play man up on the outside. Mm-hmm. And I'll be interested to see if Oregon can make them pay.
So is Oregon just stubborn then?
I think there's an element to it. I think there's a lot of wasted downs trying to develop the toughness culture thing. And you fall into this trap of our offensive line is this good, we should be able to run the ball against anybody. And you know, you can't run against unblocked players. It doesn't work. And I also think it hurts that you don't have an elite back. There's not one. You've got,
if they had an elite back, how much better do you think their run game is right now?
Significantly better.
So it's a combo of those two things.
It's a combo. Well, I think it's a combo of three things. I think game planning and stubbornness, Oregon's inability or refusal to push the ball downfield and soften up defenses, and the backs. But I think if you had a LaMichael James or a Barner, we've been spoiled here at Oregon watching the Ducks, because every year there's one to two NFL backs. And these guys are young, but I'll tell you right now, there isn't an NFL back that I see running the ball for Oregon. And I think that there is an impact there. When you go back and take a more detailed look, and again, you got to be careful because it's not like I have game film that I can review and study. But when you go back and watch those runs, there is so much, I keep saying it, there's meat left on the bone. There's cutbacks lane. There's holes. If you can just be patient, if you can have some field vision, or if you can make one guy miss or run through a tackle, that's where these 3 and 4 yard runs turn into 9 and 10 yard runs, and you really start to gash people. And you've seen early on Oregon have some success running the ball, but defenses adjust to it. And they're like, look, we load up. And it feels like once teams start to do that, Oregon doesn't have a counterpunch for it. They continue to try to run what's been working in the first quarter and a half, and defenses are adjusting and Oregon isn't.
All right. Coming up, more Pac-12 football talk. There is one quarterback from the Pac-12 that's in the top 10 in this Pro Football Focus rankings. We'll take a little look at what Colorado's bringing to the table on Friday, and why the Beavers are going to have it pretty rough against the Utes. But first, Mike with SportsCenter.
Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, so we've determined that Washington and Oregon are in an old-fashioned standoff where Oregon wants to give Marcus Arroyo to Washington, and Washington wants to give Bush Hamden to Oregon, and neither want the other.
No, can we get Jonathan Smith?
There you go. Well, I wanted to read to you what they said about Tyler Huntley. This is the Pro Football Focus ranking of college quarterbacks 1 through 130, which is quite an undertaking based off of the first 6 weeks. Tyler Huntley of Utah is 10th, which I found that a little high based on, well, I thought Eason was high too, based on what I've seen, but what do I know?
Well, and if you take Eason's numbers out of the lesser opponents, I think he only has one or two touchdown passes against Power 5 teams.
But they have Eason 11th.
You can pad stats against bad opponents.
Luton 18, Herbert 19. So here's what they say about Tyler Huntley, who is coming to Corvallis this weekend. The nation's most accurate thrower in terms of catchable passes this season. Huntley has thrown 7 big-time throws to just 1 turnover-worthy pass. He's averaging a shallower depth of target than any season to date, but holding a 9.9 average yards per attempt, which is higher than any season prior. Boy, I didn't. He's at 9.9 average yards per attempt.
Yeah.
That's a lot higher than I would have thought.
A lot of that, though, is that they're saying that it's run after catch, right?
I mean, okay.
So that's what they're saying, is that he's throwing shorter, but they're going for longer.
He's currently the nation's second highest graded quarterback on throws targeted at least 10 yards downfield.
That's good.
So that's good. Completing 25 of 35 for 694 yards, 5 touchdowns against 0 picks. 4 of those incompletions have been dropped by his receivers, and he's leading the country by a large margin in terms of adjusted completion percentage on throws targeting 10-plus yards downfield.
Yeah.
I just didn't know he was going downfield that much.
No.
And he's, I mean, I don't know. This is just statistics, but when given time to look downfield, Huntley has been one of the nation's best, and that's indicative of his top 10 ranking here.
Well, against USC, which is their only loss, he was 22 of 30 for 210 in a touchdown, and when you watch them play against Washington State, they actually, I mean, they put on a clinic. They were throwing the ball all over the field on the Cougs, although maybe that doesn't say a whole lot. But Utah is interesting, sitting there at 4-1, and we wrote them off after the USC loss. We're like, that's the most Utah thing ever. But they look at Oregon State, ASU, Cal. You know, they're going to be significant favorites, I think, in every one of those games. And then you're at Washington. That may end up being a monster game for Utah. Especially, well, the ASU game is going to be a big one. Assuming Utah takes care of business against Oregon State and they're 2 touchdown favorites, that's going to be a big one at home against the number 18 ranked Arizona State Sun Devils.
So the top 10 quarterbacks are Tyler Huntley. They have Iowa State Brock Purdy at number 9.
I have not seen any Iowa State football.
Heard of him. The other Pac-12 quarterback that I was telling you about is Khalil Tate from Arizona. He's 8th.
And I'll tell you what, I will take my hat off to Arizona, who after the Hawaii game, I just wrote them off and was like, whatever. And I've seen Arizona play twice since then. And Khalil Tate, believe it or not, is not just beating people with his legs. He shredded Colorado throwing the football last week.
Makes you salivate for what Justin Herbert could maybe do.
He looked really good.
But Tate, when he runs, is really, I mean, he is lightning fast. Like he is really hard to take down, but he's
always,
also throwing the ball, like you say. So
always puzzled me that after that first big year that he is like almost refused to run the ball because it's such a weapon.
Number 7 is Wake Forest quarterback Jamie Newman. 6 is Jake Fromm of Georgia. 5, Sam Ellinger, Texas. You'll get a look at him in the Red River rivalry this weekend. And then the top 4 are obvious. Number 4 is Justin Fields of Ohio State. Tua from Alabama, 3. Jalen Hurts from Oklahoma, 2. And they have Joe Burrow from LSU, number 1, who is sensational.
Yeah, LSU is scary because, well, they actually have a quarterback and an offense now.
So Steven Montez, I didn't see where he was. He's the Colorado quarterback that's coming into Autzen on Friday. Mm-hmm. And oh, there he is. He's 30th.
Yeah.
He's pretty good. He's big arm. Some people think that he's the best Colorado quarterback ever, which is funny because they had, I mean, they don't have a ton, but Cordell Stewart.
Klatt, who was pretty good. Darren Hagan won a national title there, but Hagan was an option guy.
And Coy Detmer was there. But Steven Montez is good. I mean, their offense is really good. They're ranked 26th nationally. He's a big kid. He's mobile. He can make all the throws. And he has good wide receivers. Laviska Shenault. There was an NFL scout that said at 6'2", 220, Laviska Shenault will be the strongest receiver in the NFL the day he's drafted.
He is the best. I mean, I know he's hurt, but I guess he was practicing. Doesn't mean he's going to play. But if you haven't watched any of Colorado or you saw him last year, he is the best player in the Pac-12, period. End of story. And I love what Isaiah Hodges does at Oregon State. That's an NFL guy too. Chenault is a absolute freak.
He's from Texas. You know, he was just a three-star kid.
Yeah.
And he somehow ended up, he had offers from Bama and LSU and UCLA and some others, but he ended up at Colorado. And
it's not
I kind of want him to play in that game.
Me too. I want to see him. And it's not just because I want to see Oregon's defense get tested. And Oregon should be able to score in spades on Colorado. Colorado is not a good defensive team, but I would like to see Oregon's defense against a real offense. So, you know, Auburn was a real offense, but I thought they were limited even with Bo Nix, who I still scream to this day is not a good quarterback. Colorado, to me, may present, including Auburn, the biggest challenge for this Oregon's defense, and I want to see it. And it's not just Chenault. They've got another guy. Was it Tony Brown and then the little kid, Nixon, number three, I think is their little slot receiver. They've got some weapons there, and this is going to be a fun game. And it should be a high-scoring game,
Colorado,
I would think.
Well, yeah, but see, here you go again, assuming that Oregon's offense is just going to easily put up points when we just got done talking about why it's struggling.
Well, it should, because if you've seen Colorado at all, most people are putting up points against Colorado.
Well, if it doesn't this weekend, then you worry going into Seattle, right? But
yes.
Colorado, yes. I mean, Colorado's beat Nebraska. They beat Arizona State, but they've also lost to Air Force, and they lost to Arizona. So I don't know what to make of them.
Well, that Arizona game was in the 30s. That was, what, 35-30? And that was a back-and-forth game. And
it was close.
I think the Air Force game might have gone into overtime.
Yeah, it did. I mean, they're 3-2. They could easily be 5-0.
Yes.
They really could, but, I mean, they're tough, but Oregon should win.
Yes. At home, there's no excuse, again, for losing. I said this with the Cal game, too. They're nice tests, but they're very limited teams. Cal had no offense, and Colorado has no defense. And to me, when you're balanced and you're at home, to me, these are games that are they're inexcusable for Oregon to lose. The Washington game is going to be, to me, the big test.
The Beavers are taking on Utah. This one, you know, I know everybody's feeling pretty good in Corvallis. Turn the corner, maybe. Feeling good, but Utah.
Yeah, Utah's going to be a different animal.
They are, for a couple of reasons, and that's, I mean, it's cliche to say, but there's a couple of things about them that makes it tough. Well, one, Oregon State, you know, their offense is top 25 nationally.
Yeah.
No matter how you slice it. And but Oregon State could easily be 4-1, but the thing about Utah is really good at keeping your offense off the field.
Yeah.
They are 17th in the nation on third down, and they're number 7 in opponent's time of possession. That's a big one. So Utah certainly can suffocate Oregon State by just keeping the Oregon State offense off the field. If they do that, the Beavers are in trouble. So the Beavers got to get, I don't know, their defense has just got to get off the field, period.
Well, and then the other thing is that...
But, you know, Oregon State's fifth nationally in third down conversions.
Yeah, and so it's going to be strength on strength. And then the other one that I wonder about, too, is Utah, which I think is second or third in the conference in running the ball and probably has the best back. The best way to keep an explosive offense on the field or off the field is what? Just run the ball. And we know that Oregon State has struggled run defense, and I would expect a lot of Zach Moss. I would see Zach Moss left, Zach Moss right, Zach Moss up the middle. If I'm Utah, I want nothing to do with getting into high-scoring affair here. I just want to pound the ball and try to impose my will up front, both sides. And it'll be interesting to see if Oregon State can bow their back a little bit and get their offense some more possessions, because they're going to need it. They're not going to go up and down the field on Utah here. And so it's going to be imperative that they get some stops and get into that 17, 18, 19 type possession game to give your offense more opportunities.
Let's talk about a rage room. Do you have a rage room at your house? Casa?
I don't. Should I?
You might. You maybe should.
Well, I have a heavy bag and like a speed bag.
I don't think that's enough.
No, I mean, you punch it and that kind of the whole.
I don't think it's enough.
No?
You need to smash a Conoco.
No, I don't have. That's the important. I don't have that. I punch things. That's about the most that I do.
So we'll talk about that next. It's 5:46 on the Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
And for our final story tonight, before the club, I mean. Although the club, hey, little
what?
Sportsy.
Hey, what? Who, what?
We've got a wag fight in the club, but it's a sports wag fight.
Yes.
And so that counts as sports.
One wag has gone against another wag.
Yeah, it's crazy. But there's the Flyers Arena. You know, the Flyers play hockey.
Yes.
and they're in Philadelphia, and their arena is the Wells Fargo Center.
Mm-hmm.
And they have put in something called a rage room.
And tell me more.
I'm gonna.
You're waiting for it to pull up, aren't you?
No, I've got it right here.
Oh, okay.
The Flyers announced Tuesday that the Wells Fargo Center now has a disassembly room, the first ever rage room inside a major professional sports arena. Located behind a hidden library wall entrance in the team's new assembly room lounge and bar area, the Anger Cave allows Flyers fans to take out their aggression on household items like TVs, dishware, bottles, and guitars using a variety of tools like baseball bats, orange and black sledgehammers, and of course, hockey sticks. Fans wear protective gear during the session, and there's also an observation room.
So you can watch the people beat the hell out of something.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I like that.
Then we have one of these in Portland.
Yeah, these are kind of a new thing now.
Yeah.
Where people go and smash things and rage and then they just get it out.
People are very angry. And I feel like if there was one sport, it would be hockey. And I feel like if there's one city that would have this in their hockey arena, it would be Philadelphia.
No question.
But there's a line around the corner.
Yeah, right. Like, I bet that's going to make... I mean, I don't know. Do you got to pay for it? I assume you do.
Yeah, you got to pay for it. It's not free. You can't just rage for free.
Well,
right?
You probably could, but I don't know how much it is. I mean, I don't... I mean, that... In other words, I wouldn't pay a whole lot for that, but if I'm really pissed off, it might be kind of fun for $5 or something.
Well, I'm looking here. If this gives you any idea, I'm assuming there's going to be some inflated prices because of the hockey thing. But if you want to go to the Demolition Zone, and that's here in Portland, mm-hmm. the cheapest that they have is $25 a person.
Wow. How long do you get in there?
You don't. You get 10 small breakables, 5 medium breakables, 2 oh. large breakables.
Make that up because...
And so then you go up. Then there's the Demolitioner Plus package.
Okay,
the
what's that?
That's $40 per person, and it doubles all the things that you can break. And then there's Demolition Date Night, double date night, and then groups of 10. And that's your best value. If you get 10 or more people, it's only $20 per person.
You just go in there at the same time?
Yeah, and it's just a free-for-all. And then they have a blacklight paint room party, mm-hmm. Girls night, bring your own breakables where you can bring your own box of stuff to smash. And that's only $15.
I was going
to
say that saves you money, doesn't it?
Yeah. If you've got,
but then you
got
to haul it all the way over there.
Yeah. But if you want to like get rid of a bunch of crap, like you got like an old TV or something, then they probably keep it around for other people to break.
Interesting. That's a little pricey.
Is it? I was actually surprised that this wasn't more. I'm assuming the hockey one
is less.
I'm going to say it's going to be more. I would assume it's double because you're
$50.
Find me something at a sporting event that's cheaper or the same price as it is anywhere else.
Yeah, I give you that.
I'm saying if it's $25 to smash these things at the Demolition Zone in Philadelphia here during a game, $50 minimum. And there'll be a line around the corner. You get that much testosterone and booze and hockey going at once, dude, people will line up and, you know, Squeeze Box and, you know, Southie Joe and all these people, they'll line up and beat the hell out of something.
Hey, look at this, bro.
Yeah.
Watch this, bro.
Got my hockey stick going to beat the hell out of this TV.
This says the Rage Room concept started in Japan about a decade ago and eventually spread to the U.S. Locations such as Break Stuff Bay Area in San Jose uses recycled electronics as fodder and charges $25 for a bring your own, well, it says BYOB, but bring your own option that allows people to bring in their own stuff to break.
Yeah.
Bring your own breakables. So that one's $25. This says, okay, here we go. During Philadelphia home games, mm-hmm. it will cost $35 for individuals and $60 for groups of 2.
There you go.
And you get 5 minutes to smash items. And you're given 1 5-gallon bucket of smaller breakable items and 1 medium-sized item to break.
Okay, so it's more expensive than this, and you're not breaking nearly as much. So basically, just pay to go to one of these demolition rooms, and it's way cheaper.
Rage room.
Yeah, I don't know if that would be something that I.
No.
Like if you told me
I'm
that,
out.
If you told me that we were going there like as some sort of like corporate event, or I guess if you're on a date and they're like, hey, we're going to the demolition zone. I wouldn't be against it, but I don't think that's going to be high on my list.
Don't they have the big thing in Vegas where you go and you get to demolish crap in like giant, you get to just drive around in like, you know, like, what's the word?
Drive around?
Like
a cornfield?
Heavy machinery, equipment and stuff. You can get in to like the big old things. And
I'd pay for that.
Yeah, I think they have that in Vegas.
If you gave me like a backhoe or like one of the like wrecking balls.
Yeah, like that stuff.
And I got to take take that to a building or something, that I would pay for. Like demolishing a building, that would be kick ass.
Yeah, it's called Dig This Vegas. Dig This Las Vegas. And it's a giant sandbox for grown-ups. And it lets people over 13 operate bulldozers and excavators.
Ooh, sign me up.
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool.
That would be kind of cool, yes. Someone says my rage can't be controlled by that much red tape. Valid point. It is very controlled rage. And then do they play death metal while you break stuff? Well, I would certainly hope so.
Man.
Or would it be creepy if they played like classical music while you break stuff? Like I went and
That'd be a little creepier.
Well, I went and saw The Joker last night.
Mm-hmm.
And or I guess it's just Joker. It's not The Joker. And
it's creepy, isn't it?
During some of the most disturbing scenes, they play very happy, upbeat music. And it adds a little of the creepiness to it.
Didn't Silence of the Lambs do that too?
Yeah. When he's beating the hell out of the guard, he's got the Chopin or whatever playing in the background. And he's doing it to the tune of the music. So, yeah. Or just, I don't know. Like I said, get a heavy bag. I don't know if you've ever done this, but like, that is a real thing that I do. Like if I'm feeling frustrated, like when I had the contractor situation, that's 100% something that I do. Like if I'm mad, I go put on some gloves and you go out to the heavy bag. You hit on that thing for 10, 15, 20 minutes. It certainly helps kind of release some of the steam.
So to drive a bulldozer around and bulldoze stuff, $269 minimum.
Ooh.
And the big dig excavator is also $269 minimum for 90 minutes.
Nah, that seems like a lot.
That's high.
I feel like I can do other things for $269 prices, right? For 90 minutes.
What if,
especially in Vegas?
What if you get out there? Yeah, no kidding. What if you get out there and you have the excavator and a body comes up, like you pull up a body?
Oh, I think then you get it for free. Like I think that's a no chargey, right? When you you find a body, that's a no charge.
They're like, hey, leave that there.
Yeah, just spoon that back over.
Oh,
get some of that dirt back over there. That's a no counties.
All right, the club is next. We have a wag fight. 558 on the Fan.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.